What do you mean?
Because the internet keeps cutting out.
Oh, that's probably what it was. Yeah.
I guess we just won't record a show this week.
All right, good. We'll see. We might have right now, because it's
like snippets.
Yeah, it might just cut in and out because I could have swore I started it. Either way, it doesn't matter. Most of that's just for me anyway.
Yeah,
that's when just we record, I'm not recording for posterity. Yeah, I listen. Is how much of an ego stroke? Like, is that too narcissistic?
No, because
I listen to me and I laugh at me, and that makes me feel uncomfortable.
I genuinely think we're funny, and I listened back to our when I was working last summer. I would listen to our shows. I listened to each of our shows once, and I thought they were a hoot and a holler. Yes, both of them.
How old are you?
I don't know. Sometimes I feel 50. I woke up this morning and I was like, "Are my ankles like correct?" I don't know. I couldn't move them correctly.
I'm a little upset because I'm 22 now. Happy birthday to me this past weekend.
Are you feeling 22?
Slight mortality crisis, but I'm all right. Stop. Don't.
Yeah.
I was walking with someone. I forget who it was, but I meet them on the quad and I casually mentioned it was my birthday. Like, "Oh my god, happy birthday." And I was like, "Stop, please. Just stop."
I didn't wish you a public happy birthday.
And I'm okay with that. I appreciate that. It's 22. I'm like, "What can I do when I'm 22?" And she goes, "Well, you know, one Taylor Swift song is applicable to your life for a year."
Yeah.
I was like, "I guess."
You're like, "All right, I'm ready to 23.
That's really it. But I couldn't think of, there's nothing that goes on with 22. Now, I say that, and I think everyone says that cuz I don't know. People are just, after 21, you can't think of, 21's huge, you know, there's a bunch of doors that open, literally, you can walk into a lot of different places. People say 22, there's nothing going on, or 23, 24, whatever. Certain ages, it's just nothing, no milestone to celebrate.
Yeah.
But I bet you legally, in like the minutia of the law, there's probably things that apply to you when you're 22 that you wouldn't otherwise know about.
Yeah, I think you can rent a pool now or something.
Yeah,
like that,
yeah,
you
know? Or
like
you're
something stupid.
You can, I don't know, now you qualify for a safety deposit when you rent a room, which isn't fun, but
but it's something useful. I don't, well, the thing is, like, once you are allowed to do that, you don't know to ask for things like that. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Because, well, no one ever tells you, like,
that this applies now.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
If, like, for the safety deposit on the room, for example.
Right.
Like, it's not something you're gonna ask for if you don't know about it. And it's not something you're looking for if you don't qualify for it age-wise.
Right, but if we have enough people know about it, we can celebrate those things. I'm saying we should have a PR campaign where instead of just that hollow feeling of getting older, you could be like, "Oh, well, at least now I can maybe Holiday Express Inn the minimum age for renting a room is 22." And you're like, "Oh, all right." In the eyes of the Holiday Express, I am now an adult.
Hmm. I mean, at the very least, you can increase the maximum age on your Tinder profile. You also have to increase the minimum age, too, just because that gets weird.
You mean by one?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, just to move the bracket up by one.
That's a really sad...
Like,
as soon as the clock strikes 12, I'm like, yeah.
At 23.
Yeah. That would make me feel sadder. That just means the gap between what I still see myself as, which is like... I don't know. I still feel mentally 18-ish.
I don't know. Not with your vernacular.
I don't... Well, I've always been like that. I don't know if you... I ask my parents about that, because sometimes words just creep into my sentences that I'm not looking for. They're just there. Other times, I look for them, and I sound like a jerk. Like, sometimes I'll take a long pause and be like, what's a multisyllabic, jerky word that I can throw?
Yeah, what's a word that you would only see on the SAT ever?
Yeah. But apparently, I was always that kid. And which I don't know if that makes it better or worse, but
I didn't know.
It wasn't a learned thing. I just liked words when I was young.
So they just spit you out with a dictionary.
Yeah. They're like, "All right, this is what he does. He can't do math or anything worthwhile. So I guess he'll just
do math, anything
words.
Physical."
Yeah.
Yikes.
Also another thing. Did you play sports when you were a kid?
No.
No?
Look at me.
Well, I don't know.
Oh,
I did, look at me, and I did.
I did martial arts when I was
okay,
young.
That counts.
I have a black belt.
Oh, really?
I did.
Huh.
Does it still
apply, or are you just flabby and worn out?
Okay, first of all.
I'm asking. I'm not telling.
Well, I mean, I still have the merit, right? I just don't have the skill anymore.
Right.
So it's like, once you get a black belt, you never lose the black belt. It's not like there's a...
I feel like there should be, you know, like CPR, you gotta re-up. They should probably do that.
I mean, like... a black belt is more of a personal achievement, right? Unless you're teaching other people. I'm going to say I have a black belt.
Yeah, but if you say you have a black belt, I feel a little more comfortable around you.
What does it matter if I earned it 11 years ago, right?
You know, if we're at a... All right, if you... Hypothetical, you tell me you have a black belt, we're going out, I have a couple of shots, too many, and I want to just mess with people. I'm relying on you as a safety.
I don't like that. Well, that's why I don't open with, "Hi, I'm James, I have a black belt."
With every person you meet. Yeah, James, black belt?
Yeah, I have a black belt in Taekwondo. Granted, I got it 11 years ago, but still applies. The merit is still there. I'm a black belt emeritus, if you will.
I hope you got it to it. Not like, you know, a refined MMA, you know, whatever. Just like a nice institution. Mm-hmm. But you got it at like... Sensei John's corner store black belt emporium, you know, yeah, like really bad ones that are run by like a 50-year-old guy with nothing else going on.
Yeah, the ones where it's like in between a movie theater
and the pizza parlor. Yeah. No, it's usually it's like if you get a black belt from a place that's, you know, within half a square mile of a ShopRite.
Mm.
That's usually my metric.
You need a standalone dojo, if you will.
Yeah, it's got to be. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to be a pagoda in the middle of a misty mountain. But
yeah,
I just
don't have to do it that way. That's
I don't trust dojos with like neon bubble letter Comic Sans.
Yeah.
I don't really trust those people. But what was I just about to say?
I don't know. But
speaking of not starting with really annoying thing, I don't know if you know this, but I drive a Mustang.
Currently?
Yeah.
Really?
It's not mine, though.
Oh.
So here's the thing. My dad had a midlife crisis. Not really, but he wanted to, you know, he was doing well. He wanted a new car.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted a Carmen Ghia. I don't know if you know what that is.
No.
Pretty looking car.
Carmen San Diego?
But
yeah.
It's Carmen San Diego. So, but it looks older, and I don't know. It's just, it's like a knockoff Aston Martin.
Okay.
If he heard me say that, he'd punch me in the face. But I didn't like the way it looked. So I twisted his arm, and I was like, you know, Mustangs are reliable cars. It's American. Mm-hmm. You love Ford. Get a Mustang. So we got a Mustang.
Okay.
He, you know, still working and still needing a car for, you know, weekend trips. It's bigger and has more trunk space. He almost never drove it. I ended up driving it most of the time. So, and I drove it a lot. I love
this
thing.
So when was this past year?
This is the only car I've really driven.
Ever?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I mean, I've driven the bigger car, but this is like de facto my car because I just
use it. That's incredible.
But
I have a VW Golf.
But here's the thing.
It's a little buggy.
It's not really mine. So when...
mine isn't mine either. I share it with my brother and neither of us own it. So.
Right. But so... I was pulling up to the gas station, and it's a nice looking car. And this guy, you know, I just got it washed, and this guy, you know, I rolled down the window, yeah, feel it regular. And he goes,
regular?
Yeah.
In a Mustang?
Yeah. You want diesel? No.
I'm not talking about diesel, like no premium, no ulcer or whatever?
I don't care.
What? Doesn't that ruin the engine?
It's going on 150,000, it's still pretty good.
Okay,
so.
All right.
So anyway, he goes, wow, that's a nice looking car. I'm like, thanks. He looked at me with these bright, wide eyes, like I was this successful investment banker. Mm. And he goes, you know, how do you even manage to get a car like that? And I was torn between the two worlds of my ego and his ego.
Mm.
I could say, look, dude, this isn't my car. This is my dad's car. I don't know the first thing.
Mm.
Or
you could do what you did.
I could do what I did.
Oh no. just
so I looked over at him, and not with any sort of panache. I wasn't trying to come off like a jerk. I just was too embarrassed to say, this is my dad's car.
This is my daddy's
car.
Yeah.
So I said, look, you know, I looked over at him. By the way, I'm a baby. This was like when I was 17, 18.
Oh,
I'm
my
like
God.
Baby-faced, but I guess I looked a little older. I don't know. Mm. So I go, look, dude, it's you just got to put in the work. You got to go out there and get it. And I drove off, and then I saw him a week later.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, oh, yeah, he said, I'm putting in extra hours or whatever. He was just making conversation.
Okay.
I said, look, I can't do this. I'm sorry. "This is my dad's car."
Oh no, what did he say?
He just sort of looked at me. He goes, I told him, I'm like, "You caught me off guard. I felt awkward. I didn't want but I don't want you thinking I'm this." "I am just as clueless as you are as to how you get this car." Oh, he was like, all right, you know.
He quits his job. He's yeah. Like, not worth it.
So now I'm a sham to that entire Quick Check. Yeah, that was one of those things where don't lead off with, now I make it a point anytime anyone ever references that car, almost like a terms and agreements. I just, it's not mine. It's not my car. So I don't have to confront that moral wedge ever again. It's not my car.
Or you could just completely convert over to
the other side.
Yeah.
It's totally my car.
You know what, kid? Just follow
your
dreams.
You know how many hours I put in to get this car?
You might stare into the stock market.
Yeah. It's one of those unspoken, just, you know, the worst awkward moments.
Yeah.
The little things you're not prepared for. And everyone,
interactions like that, you can never expect them to happen.
They're my favorite things in the world, though. The little things, everyone has these. Everyone does them every day or comes into that situation every day.
I have a funny one, actually. So Saturday night, we had our date party. For the fraternity, and I went there, and we were all hanging out at the Mars Bar and Grill, and I go upstairs to request a song, and my friend's girlfriend pulls me aside, and she goes, "James, you have amazing posture." She's like trashed, and she tells me my posture is amazing, and I look at her, I was like,
"What?
Like what do I say to that?" Right? There's no way I could properly respond. So I said,
"I pride myself on my lumbar
I use
support.
It to falsify confidence," and then I walked away. That was it. Like I didn't know what to say. I thought it would be funny. So
you know what's funny? This is something I feel bad about is when somebody compliments me randomly. It could be anything, whatever. "Oh, you're really nice eyes. You're really nice hair. Whatever." Yeah, yeah. It's such a nice thing to do, and yet it happens so infrequently that I'm caught off guard, and I make these people look like schmucks. Like, they'll be like, "Nice hair," and I'll be like, okay. Like, meanwhile, inside, I'm like, "Oh my god, this is a great moment," but like outwardly, I'm like, "Get the out of here."
Talk to you. You know what they do in Japan, which is really interesting. There is always, so Japan is a very humble society, right? Uh-huh. I'm gonna get in my weeaboo kind of garbage. What they do is when they receive compliments, so they're still humble, when they accept a compliment, they also say something negative about themselves. Not like backbreakingly negative, like, "Oh, I have crippling depression," or a huge
"You're really nice eyes, I'm dying inside."
Yeah, exactly. But it's something like, almost like you were saying with the car. So they're like, "Oh, you have a really nice car." You'd be like, "Oh, thank you, but it's my father's." Or something like, "Oh, your hair looks great today." It's like, "Oh yeah, thanks, but only because I spent a lot of time on it," something like that. So they always throw a little bit they always throw a little bit of jab at themselves so they can remain humble. That's the way they do it. Yeah. Which is really interesting.
I think people do that here in a micro way.
Yeah, it's
people aren't comfortable just taking a compliment face value.
Yeah. It's difficult. Really because hard. you don't wanna seem,
yeah, I'd be like, "Yeah, I know." Yeah, you're damn right. My eyes are beautiful.
Like if I'm talking with my boys, I'll do that, right? Yeah. Like someone's like, "Oh, you great?" I'm like, "Yeah, no." Like, just jabbing.
Well, because if you just take, even saying thank you, there's something implicit in that. It's like, wow, this guy knows.
Yeah.
Oh, so you already knew that? That's great. I'm glad I just pointed out the obvious. Yeah, you might as well say, "Thanks for telling me what I already know."
Yeah, you
know?
Have it's to like, garnish a compliment.
Uh-huh. All right, we're coming up to 421. And Ali Rosen just got the name of our show wrong.
He got
I thought we wanted more listeners, but I don't think I do anymore.
He even got the old show name wrong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, wow. Disco Cereal. Close. I mean, kind of.
Never shall those syllables be spoken in the show.
I'm sorry.
Of your past love.
Eric never existed. Could you just start wearing orange shirts for me?
No, I actually own no orange.
Isn't that crazy? I don't know how that kid pulled it off. And yet, he looked
it's like... It's very specific people.
It works so well for him. And before we go to break, I actually... Did I ever tell you, like... I stick by this, by the way. I care so little about fashion.
Yeah, I know.
No, yeah. James just gave me a once over.
Just up and down, like, yeah, all right.
But I really don't care about fashion.
Yeah.
And I told my parents, and they thought it was a phase. And unless it's either a, you know, it is a phase, or, you know, it's it'll end eventually, or it's just me.
Mm. Those are three very different things.
When I was like in eighth grade, I told them, can I just get, you know, 8 pairs of tight blue jeans.
Nice.
And a couple of nice white t-shirts.
Yeah, nice.
And I'll wear that every single day. And they said, all right, well, the 50s are over and greasers are dead. But also, no, you psychopaths. But I would really love, like Eric, to be able to just... Imagine you just wake up, your wardrobe is, oh, these two things, I'm done. I'm out, you know?
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't know.
Okay, whatever. You're wearing a sweater collar.
I mean, it's a two-part, like, top bit.
You look like you could be in a... I'm so bad at fashion, I can't even think of a magazine. The Baby Gap.
That's the exact same insult that my little used against me a year ago. Yes. He said I look like the model for a Baby Gap catalog. So thank you for opening up that wound again.
You're welcome. And now we got a break. Do you have anything in mind?
Yeah, I did. But after that, I don't know if I want to play my music anymore. I do have a song that has a singular F word. So we're going to have to bleep that.
Okay. You're going to have to do the board.
Well, which button is the short one?
The dump button? The red button?
It's the short one?
You mean the one to just kill the last 4 seconds?
Yes. I mean, yeah. I only need to kill, like, 0.2 seconds.
I don't know if we can do that. This automatically dumps 4. I don't know if you can change the interval.
I'm pretty sure we can, but we don't have to worry about it right now. Let's do it. Why not?
All right.
So this is going to be my choice, and it is going to be Bambi by Hippocampus.
Oh, we listened to these guys before.
Yeah.
I like this.
This is their new album. This is the titular song, and it's amazing. So.
All right. Bambi by Hippocampus. We'll play a couple more after that, and then we'll be right back. Stick around.
My own way down to where years on the hill, she was outside of her eyes. $5 wine has a blanket inside. Lay up the pages on a traveling bed. Watch the blood of Christ mountains, are they all turn red? Howl at the half moon radio queen. She's all smoke, she's all nicotine. Songs in my pocket just crumbled apart. Won't you sing me something for the dark? Maria's got wings, she's got legs for the sea. Captain's cold and I know for me. Wake up Marie for the season turns. Set your dash for the coast, watch the same grease burn. She's all smoke, she's all nicotine. Songs in my pocket just crumbled in. Won't you sing me something for the dawn? Won't you sing me something for the dark, dark, dark? If too much love is an overdose, too many times I've come so close. I guess I'm still learning though. Still. My
Welcome back. You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania, and I'm Kevin.
And I'm James.
And this is Still Mocha Gumbo.
Sorry, I was holding... I just started holding my breath for, like, no
you
reason.
You might don't even bother to listen.
Stop.
I could just get us going in a loop. You'll yawn.
Stop, because I'm, like, yawning while I'm yawning.
Oh, wait, no, I gotta...
So BuzzFeed's awful.
BuzzFeed is terrible.
We were mentioning that when Kevin was looking it up.
Yeah, it's a horrible service. Ranker sites are awful. And I clearly they are a quasi-successful company. They're still going. I want to know, I think it's probably a good portion of
the internet.
The world population, of the internet population, that is feeding into these, as you said, vapid, overused
GIFs, you know, whatever you call them.
Lists, rankings that are totally subjective and not rigorous whatsoever. It's like the top 15 Mean Girls moments, and then
top X things you didn't know about Y.
Yeah,
number Z will shock you.
Yeah,
I love the number whatever will shock you.
Oh yeah, well that's more. I haven't seen that. Is that a BuzzFeed thing? Because I've only seen that on like ads
general,
for penis pills, and
oh.
I'm allowed to say penis.
Can you?
I think. It's a clinical word. I'm referring to
Eastern
a
PD.
Part. It would be different if I used like a, you know.
Yeah, like a wiener, you know.
Whoa, oh, all right,
yo,
slow
cut,
down.
Cut it.
We get freaked out over the tiniest infractions, and yet I'm sure
there are
like
so many
10% of the shows are just... Because as we said, nothing happens... And this could be sowing the seeds of our own destruction right now by saying this on air to the one grumpy old man that's listening. But nothing happens unless a suit is brought and enough people complain. You know, and the FCC does have an enforcement agency. But, you know, it's going to take a lot of... unless someone's really upset about...
Well, yeah, I think it's not even like... I believe we were talking to whoever the president of WJRH was, or maybe the head technician or something. And he said, yeah, people don't really... They don't really send people out to give you the fines until it's many complaints from multiple people.
Yeah.
So if we're pissing off one old guy, I'm sorry. Like, first of all, why are you listening to the show?
Yeah, there's not a captive audience.
Literally anyone here, why are you listening to this? If you're still here, I don't know.
You probably just escaped from a halfway house.
Yeah. Yikes. That's a bit much.
Is it touchy? Is that a touchy subject?
I don't know. That's a lot.
That's just a trope I know.
I
pick up my lines. They're not. Most of them aren't from me. They're from other comedians/talk show hosts.
Oh, is that why you're so funny?
Yeah. I'm just a giant copycat.
Yeah, that was like a backhanded compliment.
It's true.
I mean, at some point you have to do your research on...
I go out of my... I don't know how often I do it, and maybe people are just nice and don't acknowledge... how much I steal from other people. But I go out of my way. If I catch someone telling a joke that I know is from another bit, I absolutely always call them on it.
Jump on it.
Never let that go. I just can't stand it. Cause
So you're also a hypocrite.
Well, I don't do it consciously. Like, I'm talking about a bit. Not like, oh, you got that line from somewhere, but like people who will do a 20 to 30 second bit.
Oh, like Julian and Henry.
Do they do that? Oh, no, no, no. But they're reenacting, and they know they're reenacting.
Yeah.
It's a meme.
Okay,
but I'm talking about the people that kind of attempt to pawn it off as their own.
Okay, give me an example.
You know, like, and he's not really, I can't even use his name anymore without evoking horrible imagery. But no, I mean, not really, but Louis C.K.
Oh, yeah,
But he has a lot of bits that are so, any sort of observational humorist will be like, you know, you can take their stuff because... The reason they sell is because they're exposing such common phenomena that
they
apply to everyday life.
Yeah.
So you could be like, oh, that's like, you ever see potato salad on a Tuesday? And are you ever you go to the grocery store and the lines are long? Like, you can apply it to such stupid small talk, like everyday variety small talk. And then you could easily pawn it. And I can't stand that. Like, I know, the bit gets going, I'm like, shut it
down.
That's more
understandable.
And what's even worse is when it's not applicable. This happened when I was younger, when people still didn't know the social mores of you know, having a conversation.
I don't think people still know the social. I think people still struggle with that for the most part.
No, but like, I'm talking, sometimes people will try to wedge. This is the worst. Mm-hmm. And it's happened very infrequently in the past 4 years of my life.
Okay.
But people will go out of their way to try to wedge an anecdote from a comic into a conversation that has nothing to do with any of that.
Oh, I've never seen that before. That sounds horrible.
It'll happen. It's just like somebody wants to be seen as funny and be like, oh, that reminds me of this, when it totally shouldn't have.
Mm.
And they'll just start talking about that. It's really bad. I think it happened more when I was younger, when people were younger, because you're still trying to figure out, you know, your identity.
Yeah, that's
so you're just
fair,
like, let me try this character on.
Let me tell this offensive joke.
Yeah. Oh, well. Maybe. I was listening to Dane Cook, and he's pretty mild-mannered compared to the comics today. He's also terrible.
Yes.
He's the worst comedian
Not
ever.
Very good, no.
He's awful. And yet, I don't know about you, but I listened to him a lot.
I did not know.
When I was 8 or 9.
I don't really listen to any comedians anymore. You know who I grew up with, at least comedian-wise? Brian Regan.
Oh,
Brian Regan's great. He's got good, clean, family fun humor.
Yeah, he's easy to follow, and he's funny.
Yeah.
And
it's just nice for the kids, you know, for the moms and dads.
I don't know, but do you listen to Tosh's stand-up?
Daniel Tosh. I just can't stand him because of the premise of his show.
Tosh.0 I think is stupid.
It's literally just, hey, here's the internet recap for the week that you saw on Reddit 5 days ago.
Yeah, there's no point. His colored commentary is fun, but
I guess so.
Jeez. Sorry.
You good?
Yeah, my ears are ringing.
That's fair.
His commentary is great. It's very interesting. But you don't need a recap for the internet. You can get that anywhere. But his stand-up, he has these nested, beautifully orchestrated quips, like stories and punchlines that are incredible. They're so much fun to watch. And it's almost like, you know, like it's acrobatics.
Mm.
Like there's so many double, triple entendres that are connected to each other that he'll go over once and he'll speed through them. That you don't even really have time to analyze.
I might check that out.
It's really, you gotta like try to keep up with
them. There's a lot of comedians that I used to watch are now just like bad people.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could count Aziz Ansari.
That's
interesting case.
Divisive.
Mike Birbiglia. I know he was pretty bad to women.
Oh, really?
I
had no idea.
Just like me. Or I might be confusing him with someone else who is fat and dumpy.
Okay, I was going to say, Mike Birbiglia, that'd be interesting.
Patton Oswalt.
Oh, really?
I don't think he's... Oh, well, now I'm just naming comedians.
Oh.
Patton Oswalt's a riot.
I saw him live.
I think he's hilarious. Really?
2-3 months ago?
Really?
I went to D.C., and he was playing at, like, the National Theater.
Mm.
Oh, my. I was in tears, and I'm not exaggerating. So sides hurt laughing. Mm. He was so funny. I went with my parents. I've always loved him. I didn't think they would dig him because he's a little more modern. You know, he's not the classic comedian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
His style is a little weird, but I took them. They were crying too. Mm. He was so funny.
He's so good. I recently saw one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my entire life with him in it.
What?
Well, let me rephrase. The first constraint isn't that he's in it and then the movie is bad. Mm-hmm. The constraint is I recently saw the worst movie, one of the worst movies of my entire life, and he happened to be in it. It was called, I can't remember it now. The details aren't important, but it was a movie by Seth Rogen,
mm-hmm.
like an older movie. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was, I don't want to, you know, hold up the conversation trying to think of the name. If I figure it out,
I can look up his IMDb.
It's Seth Rogen and Patton Oswalt. If you look it up, I'm sure you'll find it.
Yeah, keep talking.
But it's a mall cop comedy.
Oh.
Yeah. And
what do you mean mall cop comedy? Like that?
Seth Rogen is a bad mall cop in
love. Oh, it's actually a mall cop.
Yes, he's literally a bad mall cop in love with this disgusting woman.
Observe and Report?
Observe and Report. If anyone knows the movie Observe and Report, I feel very sorry for you.
2009. I remember that coming out.
It's... The whole movie is horrifically bad.
We're going to look up the tomatometer or whatever it is.
It's just tried and true cliches. It's disgusting slapstick jokes.
Wow. Surprisingly?
Yeah, 50.
Yeah,
you
but
know
that's
why?
Not horrible in the realm of horrible movies.
You know why it has that score? It's right. Because the last 5 minutes are a riot.
Oh, yeah.
He is trying to catch the main antagonist of the movie, like this mall flasher. He just walks around showing people his penis, right? And
we're in that territory.
Yeah, we are
now.
In the territory.
We broke the barrier.
So the mall flasher flashed the person he was in love with. But the person he's in love with doesn't become his love interest because his love interest becomes this like woman who works at the coffee shop that's really nice to him all the time. And the person he did love because she was so attractive.
Oh, wow. Well, what are you talking about cliches? Yeah, coffee shop love interest?
The person he was attracted to in the beginning of the movie has sex with one of the coworkers and he feels betrayed and whatever. So the mall flasher is running around and he's about to flash the past love interest, Brandy, again. Right, and she was already like scarred by the first time, and Seth Rogen, he's like running up right from across the store, and you think he's gonna tackle the guy, and the flasher is running towards him, and all of a sudden he just gets shot like 3 times in the chest, and he's just sitting there lying, he's in a pool of blood, and it's like so sudden, and you don't realize it.
Right.
Every single person, I was watching this with 8 other people. We were cackling. We had to stop the movie because it was that funny.
It's well, now like, I want to watch it.
It's well, I mean, not that I ruined. I really did ruin the movie for you
because okay.
That's the best part of the movie, and that's the only good part of the movie.
Right.
But it's just it's such a like
what
because everyone's like, oh, he's gonna tackle him and just oh my god.
I love. It's kind of funny, isn't it, that B-list movies, deliberately horrible movies, are a sellable thing now.
Yes.
Like directors go into the movie saying, "This is going to be a terrible movie."
It's so good. Sorry, it's so bad that it's good. Just like that. Speaking of B movies, we watched the B movie recently.
Why? Who is we and why?
Two of my housemates, Eric Sink, and
of course
another one of my friends.
you guys are terrible.
Greg. I wasn't watching it explicitly. I was doing homework and they put it on and I was like, I'll like poke over every so often, but like just analyzing that movie, how did Jerry Seinfeld ever agree to do that?
Oh yeah.
It's so horrifically made.
Well,
the entire movie is, we kept trying to find like fake social commentaries.
I think I found the answer.
Oh my God.
By the way, I just looked up B movie box office sales, $287.6 million.
Oh my god.
That's probably why he did it.
Yes, that's fair. I just think it's crazy that people are upset at the boyfriend, Ken.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the movie, right? Yes.
Wait, to be fair, I've seen the movie, but I've seen it where every time they say the word B,
you haven't seen the whole movie.
No.
It is a treat. People are upset at Ken, a human male, for getting cuckolded by an insect. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being victimized for being cuckolded by an insect? That's
no,
all I'm saying.
I can't. And they never really address the logistics of that romance in the movie, do they?
No. I think Barry B. Benson explicitly says, "We're just good friends."
But that's not true, is it?
No.
So,
I don't know.
I gotta say, I'm a little disappointed in the B-movie production team for not exploring those questions. They could have had an A-list, you know, thought piece on their hands. But instead, they just said, you know...
With insect on human pornography?
Okay, now we're getting a call.
Now we're getting there.
Now we're getting the call. The call is going to come in any moment now.
It's fine. We got like 7 minutes left.
I think it's. I don't know if it's. Maybe it's just like a sort of radio senioritis that we're going
through.
I'm
just feeling raunchy. It's just
I'm just feeling raunchy.
Honestly, this is 12-year-old me coming up. But as soon as you said penis, I was like, oh baby, we're going there.
That was so honest of you.
It's like,
you didn't try to cover that in any I'm just feeling.
I really hope there's
a couple MP people listening.
It's been a very long semester, and I was just like, you know what? Oh, I don't even care anymore. Like, because I'm having fun with this. This is our last like 2 semesters of this.
Might as well
count, right?
By the end of this, who knows? We might actually have a lawsuit on our hands.
Yeah, I don't know. $10,000.
It would have been nice to get a... The thing is, I can't imagine myself doing a night show.
I did a night show in my freshman year with Vucinich, and...
Right.
11 to midnight, it was called Hipster S-Word and Booty Jams.
Wow.
and it was a good time.
I don't know. I feel like between, I would already be on the verge of going to bed.
Mm.
Or I'd just be in sleepy mode.
Oh yeah, in my freshman year,
I would have less of less energy to censor myself, which of course I wouldn't need to as much. Mm. But
oh well, we didn't have a talk show is a thing. We played music.
Ah, okay.
And did meme. What was it? We instead of doing PSAs, we did memes. So that's... like 30 seconds about how you should get your calcium every day so your bones are strong. Yeah, stuff like that.
That's a meme.
Yeah.
Isn't that?
Well, like calcium actually in the realm of bone men or something like that. Mm. I mean, like skeletons. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I don't know.
It's spooky season.
Yeah, it is spooky season. We watched Coco yesterday.
I have been getting my arm metaphorically and almost literally twisted to watch that.
By who?
Casey. She's obsessed with it.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I don't know if I.
It is. Please watch it at your.
Is it a Disney thing?
Yeah, it's Disney Pixar.
Okay.
And the music is incredible. The kid is so talented. You've seen Moana, right?
Yeah.
That girl was 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
The kid in this movie, 12 years old. Absolute wow. Masterpiece of a voice. So good.
Interesting thing I was thinking about recently. So we had our showcase. And I'm thinking to myself, well, most of these people have, hopefully all of them, have hit the adolescent plateau. And they have these voices for presumably the rest of their lives. So I was thinking back over a couple weeks ago, over fall break, I went up to see my brother in Rhode Island, and we stopped in this small ritzy town to get dinner. And I sat down, and I'm listening to this tape. We're sitting outside on a patio, tables, you know, kind of close to each other, and it's pretty quiet, so I can hear all the conversation going on the table next to us. And there's this kid with his head buried in his DS. He doesn't say a word to his family for like 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow, that's kind of rude. Like, why wouldn't you say it? My parents would not let that fly if I was. And then I learned over the course, and I felt bad, that he was a child actor, that he had like 80-hour weeks, and that he was currently in Les Mis playing Gavroche.
Oh, my God.
That was the Gavroche and whatever Les Mis is going on right now was sitting next to me. So I'm looking over, and incidentally, my best friend from home was Gavroche when he was his age.
Mm.
And we always make fun of him because he's like, quote, washed up. Mm, he was never on Broadway again. He did it for 2 years. And isn't it kind of messed up? Look, it's great to nurture your child's dreams, but at such a tender age, when you're like five or six, because I know my friend, you know, he's certainly talented, but he didn't grow up to be the, you know, Broadway star, you know?
Yeah, because
he,
something like that is really all or nothing, right?
And there is a certain amount of innate ability, not all of it whatsoever, but certainly not. But you could grow up at six, or you could grow up and lose interest. So at six, he's being reared that he's a Broadway star.
Yeah.
And he's on Broadway.
I mean, you see that a lot with the Disney actors, right?
That's what I'm thinking. I feel bad. Well, some of them, Disney maybe, could they... But a lot of them, they hit a certain age, there's nowhere to go anymore.
Yeah, you could end up like a Britney.
Yeah,
it's terrible. Or you could end up like a Cole Sprouse.
I feel like there should be... It's... Okay. Wow, you're still feeling...
Jughead sexy. Jones. My God, Jughead Bones, you know what I'm saying?
Oh my God. I'm getting mad at it. But yeah, isn't it kind of screwed up? I feel like it's an ethical thing. You shouldn't... If your child might just be garbage... Eventually.
And even if they're not garbage, you shouldn't like shoehorn them into this bad. I was saying, all or nothing kind of.
Then again, I get it because it's better to be ahead of the game and get in the industry like that early as fast as you can. But maybe wait till like 16. Mm. You know, maybe that's the age that they're mature enough they can make a reasonable decision. And you also know if they've really got the drive and the skill to like get involved.
True.
But you're so young.
If you're burning your kid out before they hit double digits, like that's absurd.
Yeah. And, you know, you're rearing them, you know. Yeah. They could be, if you let them explore, innately interested in bricklaying. I don't know, but did you just snap like a socialist coffee shop slam poet event? But I don't know.
I thought this hour is what that was, honestly.
Socialist coffee shop.
Well, just, slam I mean, poetry. we got the socialist and the coffee shop down.
We do, actually. Yeah.
All right, so next... time I'll prepare slam poetry.
Yeah, we should get a calendar and put it on the wall, and just, or like a whiteboard, and days since mentioning Marxism.
Yeah, I don't think that counts, like, that just now. But
no, but when we talk about Marxist ideas...
It's been literally a month, right? Maybe?
Yeah.
Month and a half?
Commodity fetishism. There we go. Back to Z0.
Nope, that doesn't count. It has to be organic.
Yeah.
No. All right. Word of the day, right?
Oh, right. It is 4:55.
It's going to be, like, Marxism or something.
Yeah, could you imagine? It is 4:55, and it is time for our two words of the day.
Yeah, no, I'd end the show if it was something like that.
And I also have a proposal for you.
Yes.
So I'm going to tell you this right now. You're probably going to spend at least an hour on it today.
Oh, no.
It's called inspirobot.me. It's an algorithm that generates motivational memes. The problem is the algorithm has learned the structure of motivational sentences on memes. It has not learned value judgments.
Yes, I have seen this before.
I'm obsessed with it.
It's amazing.
So I don't know if we can. Some of them are crude. We might have to discard them, but I think we should do our words of the day, and if we have time, maybe not today.
Sure.
Do our... you're going to love this. Do our motivational...
Ooh!
The word of the day is... Brouhaha. Which actually, I don't know the definition of, but I've used it before.
Yes.
It's one of those words. And the definition is a state of commotion or excitement. So apparently
like,
that's
like
really
a kerfuffle.
Like a kerfuffle or a hubbub.
Or a hullabaloo.
I don't know if... Maybe. Anyway, brouhaha.
There's a lot of ways to say that.
Brouhaha?
Yeah.
Well, like a general commotion? Yeah, there are a lot of ways. Most of them sound...
Most of them sound similarly...
Totally
funny.
Made up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brouhaha. And so that was the word of the day from Merriam-Webster. The other word of the day from dictionary.com is barn... I would love to define this myself. The word of the day... Now, I get why it's funny, but James is laughing hard. The word of the day is barnstorm. The definition is not what you hoped. It's to conduct a campaign or speaking tour in rural areas by making brief stops in many small towns.
Okay, that makes
sense. That's kind of cool. A barnstorm, it's a verb. So we're going to barnstorm.
Yeah, again, barnstorm Alabama, etc.
For the mayor's seat.
For the primaries, yeah.
All right.
I'm sorry, I just saw barns.
That is pretty good. You were definitely hoping it was literal.
Yeah.
Barnstorm. Storm of barns. So the other thing we're going to introduce this week, we'll see if it works out, but I'll reiterate in case you weren't listening, but inspirobot.me, that's inspirobot.me, inspirobot.me, it's an artificial intelligence that generates, you know, motivational memes, you know, out there, the ones on Facebook, it's like a picture
like
of a mountain.
Hang
it's
in
like,
there.
You can do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is an algorithm that has been slowly, it's a learning algorithm, slowly trying to figure out how to write motivational memes. Now, it has pretty much nailed syntax.
Mm-hmm.
So it knows the general structure of a meme. It's like an intransitive verb or like a declare or like in whatever they call it, an imperative statement.
Yes. Yeah.
And it knows certain grammatical rules too, like where to put the comma and everything. But what it hasn't learned are value judgments. So it knows the structure. It doesn't know what words to put in there.
True.
So it's come up with some beautiful things that have made me laugh. And some things that are actually quite profound. It's sort of a Russian roulette thing. So we're going to generate one and see what we get. Comes out pretty quickly. All right. So I don't know.
I don't know about that one.
No?
Let's get a different one.
Another one?
Yeah.
All right. Now, are we going to do this every week or are you just going to pick the one
like
we want?
I like doing this.
All right.
Nice.
So the motivational meme that this generated today is a picture of a spiral staircase looking upward, and the caption in all black bold is, "Together, we can make it so that people die." Thank you for listening to Mocha Gumbo. This has been Mocha Gumbo. And James, you want to take us away?
Yeah, sure. You guys are currently listening to WJRH 104.9 FM and Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania. This has been Mocha Gumbo. I am James.
And I am Kevin.
And remember, guys, together we can make it so that people die.
We'll see you next week.